that Aussie shit. What's the deal with that? Thank you for tuning in. I am Keith Coogan, and you are listening to The Call Sheet, Tales of the Bone Machine. I like the full title, because it really is a tough town. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're here live in downtown Los Angeles at Skid Row Studios. Intro music by Jeff Fiorentino. Thank you, Jeff, for the rights to your rock and roll. You can find his music at jfrocks.com. And here we are. It is a beautiful late July. We have a special guest tonight. We have some returning friends. I am joined tonight by a really good friend, Gabriel Romero,
hey,
director,
how you doing?
Filmmaker.
Woo! Thank you.
Funny actor, too. You had to put yourself, you're like, I'm not going to be a lead.
I just wanted a cameo. I just wanted a little spot.
Crack me up. And Gabe, we're going to bring some entertainment to you people, if it has to kill us. We also have a return from beyondthemarquee.biz.com.
Damn it.
Dot info.
I'm just going to write like a little cue card for you.
Do you know how many hits .biz has gotten from you?
You need to make money to be a biz.
Eight new hits because of this show.
Do you remember when I couldn't remember the name of the actress that was in Monster that... Never mind.
Charlize Theron.
That's it.
You just couldn't get it right. I finally had to put up a picture of her on her IMDb page.
It didn't work.
Was she here?
No. We were talking about Prometheus.
Oh. I have guests like John Donahue.
What is that supposed to mean? I'm just as pretty as Charlize Theron.
And I don't know how to break it to you, John. You don't have the legs.
How
dare
you? Malone. You're so mysterious, Malone.
Mysterious, Malone.
Do you have to...
wear a mask when I type?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Do people come after you? Are they like, yeah, what you did about... You were wrong about the sequel. It was much better than the first one.
That's usually me telling them that.
Well, when I review, you know, I don't know, Under Siege 4...
You did?
Yeah, I have to.
Was that with the Roman numerals or the actual?
Was that on a bus? Was that, what had they devolved into for mode of transportation? A Vespa?
Yes.
What was going on?
Yes. Like speed 5.
Under siege, the MTA.
If they go faster than 2 miles an hour, call somebody.
Beyond the Marquee.
No, I have to protect myself from angry directors.
Especially after your Next of Kin review.
Oh, Next of Kin review.
Patrick Swayze. Yeah, we suffered through that last night.
and thank you, John, for introducing and bringing.
We're not there yet. Am I in trouble?
I'm so there.
Okay.
We have a special guest tonight, and we brought up one of the only successful third franchises that have sequels and trilogies, and not many are like. There's a few really big like pillars, like your Star Warses and stuff. And Godfather. Your Lord of the Rings.
I love my Star Warses.
And Godfather. Really? Part 3?
No.
And my Godfather's is...
Daddy? But one that we did bring up was Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Very, very successful franchise. And also has a very devoted, deeply devoted following that collect... Build cars.
Actually go back in time.
Totally. Yeah. And time travel is one of my favorite kind of sci-fi.
Is books. It really?
I really do. I'm big on the time travel. I spotted it in Lost Season 2 by the second episode.
We'll never introduce him.
We're joined here tonight. John has brought us a great guest.
Had to pay him.
Really? Oh, AJ Locascio. Thank you for coming.
AJ.
Thanks for having me.
I understand you have, by the way, wow. That was a gnarly empty. He topped me earlier because he's a professional at being Marty McFly in the Back to the Future video games.
Yes, that's a weird way to say it. A professional at being Marty McFly. Not many people
actually. There's only
would
been
say
two,
it that way.
Two professionals at being Marty McFly.
Eric Stoltz and
yeah. Well, he used to be.
Okay, maybe
he
three then. Yeah,
that Michael J. Fox guy
Michael
didn't do
J.
anything.
Fox.
You know, he never nailed it.
Are you working on being a professional Alex P. Keaton next?
That's actually, it's Teen Wolf.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Do you know a line from Teen Wolf?
No, I got nothing.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Styles.
I can't do it. I'm not going to humor you. No.
Just humor me.
Styles.
Yeah.
That's all you needed?
That's all I needed to hear. I'll see you guys later.
Oh, my God. How many games did they come out? 5 different
episodes
for Back to the
Future?
Yeah,
it's broken up. It's like one season, so it's 5 episodes for... you know, for one arc, as it were.
Great. What was the Naked Gun video
naked
game
gun
all about?
Naked Gun ICUP. ICUP. I let that settle in for 1 second. When I read the script, I was like, Naked Gun ICUP. Like, oh, that sounds neat. And then I realized, like, oh, ICUP. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's an adventure game that was out for, like, iOS and a bunch of random platforms. And I played Frank Drebin Jr.
Do some Frank Drebin, because I've never heard it.
Eat the mic.
Eat the mic. Am I not in the mic enough?
You're in the mic.
There we go.
All right. You want to sound buttery and sexy like me. Sorry, I just lost four listeners. Sorry, everybody.
But you gave me forever.
I just go for awkward and, you know, weird.
What was I doing? Frank Drebin Jr. Okay. Yeah, it's literally just like, oh, I don't know about that cockroach over there. I need to kill 7 cockroaches. Just my voice.
Oh, you're doing Frank Drebin Jr. Jr.,
which is not supposed to sound anything like Leslie Nielsen.
Because I went out for Priscilla Presley Jr. and I didn't. That's not funny. No. I'm not wearing pants.
That's okay. That, nice that, beaver.
Okay.
Thanks, I just had it stuffed. Sorry. And if it's in the trailer, everybody knows the line, right?
How popular is that Naked Gun game?
I don't know. I'm not keeping track. That's not my job. I did the voice.
On iTunes and the App Store.
That's right. Yeah, it is in the App Store. It's a funny game. I'm sure the writer is going to be listening to this and is going to be like, you son of a bitch, you didn't...
You're not coming back for season 2 on that one.
Yeah, I know. That's it for me.
It's a hilarious game. How did you get involved in voicing for video games? How was that pulled in? Was it Back to the Future?
Yeah, no, I was in New Jersey and I heard they were coming out with a Back to the Future game and someone said, hey, you should try out for the game. And I was like, that's a good idea. I don't know how the hell to do that. So I called them up. Like, I called up Telltale and I left a message as Marty McFly, like, hey, it's my density to do this game, you know, like, just dropping all sorts of Marty McFly lines. Even though it's a George McFly line. But, and I was like, I have to do it, like, you know, this is my, you know, I just said a bunch of random things. Whatever I can come up with, I was like, this is really cheesy. But nobody, you know, I was no one. I'm still pretty much no one. So it was kind of like, you know.
Not to me.
Well, not to you, John. That's,
okay. You're Frank Drebin Jr.
That's right. Basically, I just left a message, didn't hear anything back for a couple weeks, and then I got, like, an email, like, hey, you know, like, we liked it, send it an MP3. And I was like, really? And I was, you know, I hadn't done anything ever. I recorded on a Rock Band mic for, like, a PlayStation. So it sounded like absolute garbage. And then I actually wound up moving out to L.A., and, like, the week after I moved out to L.A., I got a call, like, hey, you know, like, you got the role. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, you got the role of Marty McFly. And I was like, you know, it sort of changed everything. So it was literally just a call and a couple emails, and that was pretty much it. But over the course of several months, and, you know, very, very depressing several months, and moving out to L.A. Very difficult, but yeah, ended great.
Well, congratulations, and also great job on probably one of the most original ways I've heard someone book a part. We have Natalie Portman writing letters to directors and such and going, I'd really love to be in your film. We have a Facebook, Twitter, people through tweets. Hey, would you be in the film? Would you do this? Sure. I'm here at Skid Row Studios from a damn tweet.
I Facebooked
you
to be on this show. Yeah. And that's how I got here. Facebook.
You Facebook.
Yeah. I'm MySpace.
Because you're on MySpace.
I friendstered him. I've got Friendster. It's good. I actually still have a live Friendster account.
Gabe, and he put me in touch with you, Keith.
I do what I can. I try to facilitate.
You're a hard man to get through on social
that is
networks.
So of all of the classic Hollywood stories, it's the first time I've heard of someone booking a part from a voicemail message.
Yeah,
congratulations.
And it wasn't even the right person. Thank you.
Wow. They're like, he's gonna hear this guy.
It was the accounting it was Rhoda, I believe, the accounting lady.
Rhoda
at Telltale. Me and Rhoda are in now. We're
the Rhoda video game. You
the
mean
Rhoda.
The Mary Tyler Moore.
Exactly.
All right.
No, that's her name. She handles accounting, but which I thought was funny. She was like, you know, I was the one that actually started all this, and I was like, wow. And
is that her impression? Because that would be horrible.
She's got a very
she sounded like that.
A very manly voice. My voice is manly, which is a total lie. But yeah, I actually called the completely wrong person and they passed it along. So it was just dumb luck and sounding, I guess, correct. Wow.
And then the MP3 sent in with a rock star mic or what was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's a Rock Band mic. You ever play Rock Band?
Yes.
It's like the worst mic in the universe. And I've actually booked other auditions with that mic.
Oh, please.
I don't recommend you buy a Rock Band mic. Like it's the worst microphone in the
Amazon,
universe.
Search for Rock Band mic.
Yeah, people are like Amazon and Rock, but it's like one of those things where you have to like tape it to a desk, not touch it, talk like a certain amount of inches away, and then like I use Final Cut Pro a lot so I can mess with the audio and actually you know, make it sound less like
crap. Would you cut my demo reel?
No.
Thank you.
So creativity, perseverance, talent, Perseverance voicemail.
PlayStation that handles Apple.
Oh, and people out there, because we have people listening that ask questions. They were like, how do I get into the business? Or how do I, you know, get an agent? Or how do I become an actor? And what's a set like? What have you? And voiceover is huge in this town. Right. Many people make an incredible living. Not only do you hear the big stars, of course, everybody hears the Jeff Bridges and the, you're listening to car commercials and such. And it's, you're like, dude, what a whore. You're taking this job from somebody who, you know, makes scale. And it's like, you don't need this. Why are you doing this? So somebody, a voice talent could have this. And there's plenty of voice work in town, from video games to all the animated and computer animated movies and stuff.
Well, and the work doesn't even stop there. Like, there's a lot of corporate gigs, instructional videos. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend actually booked a gig where she was someone's voicemail. So
what?
Yeah. it was a professional who
put up an ad. $6 if you record my voicemail.
I've done a lot of those. Yeah, it's like, hey, can you say like, hey, this is Marty McFly, and Keith can't come to the phone right now because he's back in time. I've done like 100 of those. Is that what she did?
No. It was, and they'll do things like if you call a larger company and it's like, hi, you've reached Skid Row Studios. For Keith Coogan, press 1. For John, press 2.
That's not voicemail.
No, they do that. I'm saying that as well as the voicemail.
Oh, okay.
Like, on top of that.
I was like, that's actually a pretty common thing. I got something for that the other day where it was really like, thank you for calling Propecia. And it was like, you know, it was that. It was press 1 for, you know, it was something I was like, listen, I'm not going to audition for that. I'm not the target audience for that.
Sure. So, if you know the name of the crappy movie you'd like to see, press 1.
Why don't you just tell me what movie you'd like to go see?
How much shit comes out and then all this and there's like only huge $100 million movies or totally creative independent movies. Where's that middle ground of like the $30-40 million, couple of kind of big stars? They just don't. It's, I don't know. That it
drive.
They're not a middle of the drive.
Drive.
Good.
Yeah, that's sort of right there in the middle of all that. I love that movie, so I will pimp that movie any opportunity I can. Not that it's not popular enough, but
and Michael Mann, as far as I know, did not direct it. Right?
No, he didn't.
That's amazing. But it really does sing to the 80s aesthetic. I think it's great.
It's
even the poster.
You don't like it, do you, John?
AJ, can you just do Michael J. Fox all night, please?
Does Michael J. Fox love you? Drive. Drive is my favorite movie. That movie, the plot is heavy. That's
I'm just gonna leave it.
Do you do a Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblum? Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
Well, okay. The weird thing about that is I have, you know, some of my friends over at Telltale, guys who do a podcast called Blister Thumbs. They also develop, you know, games. They wrote. I can't even keep track. They're writing like Walking Dead and writing a bunch of like other video games. And one day I get approached by this guy, Jake. He's like, hey, do you do Jeff Goldblum? I was like, what? He was like, do you do Jeff Goldblum? I was like, no. He's like, do you think you could try?
I'll keep
doing
pressing.
Jeff Goldblum. I was like, yeah, sure. Give me like 3 days. He's like, all right, cool. But listen, I don't want you to actually do an impression of him. I want you to do Jeff Goldblum noises. I was like, what?
Jeff Goldblum eating a taco.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, so it was. I spent 3 days listening to his. Yeah, it's the. All right. Exuberant. And,
that's it.
If you watch him in any interview, that's all he does the entire time. It's like I saw something with Conan recently where he's literally just like commenting on his shoes and it's. Your shoes. And that was it. It was like, what did he just say? What just happened? And that's what I did.
He's always right before orgasm.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's
Conan.
Slightly just moving in his jeans enough to get some stimulation. But yeah, so that's what the game is basically you get this special mode where once you beat the game, you could go into Jeff Goldblum mode where everyone turns into Jeff Goldblum. And it's called, 30 Flights 11. And it's a sequel to this game, Gravity Bone. And it's a 15-minute game. It's amazing. But you play. Everyone is Jeff Goldblum in that world, and they're all my voice. Very bizarre.
Did you say Gravity Bone?
Mm-hmm. Have you played Gravity Bone?
No, I've never.
It's an indie game. I have no idea where the name comes from. 30 Flights of Love, and I don't even know where that comes from. There's stairs.
Well,
in
we're
the
starting
game.
To detect to a me, theme, though. Enough. Ryan, we're starting to detect a theme. Gravity Bone, 30 Flights of Love, and
going up.
The love.
It's going up.
The love.
That was good. I wouldn't have caught that. I didn't want to use my mental facilities to catch that.
Very I'm glad what you other, did for us. Have you ever run across other voices you didn't know you could do, and then you're like, oh, I can do this. That was a great, by the way, that was better. The noises of Jeff Goldblum was better than any impersonation. That was
Keith led that clap.
Thank you.
I led the clap.
Other voices that I've come across that I didn't know I could do. Well, this is a weird one, because I didn't, for Back to the Future, I actually had to do Christopher Lloyd like a second after talking to him. Like, I thought he was going to be in the studio, which is a weird one, because I had never, ever, ever done Christopher Lloyd. And,
was he delivering a pizza and he had to go? What happened?
What happened was
he came and left?
Well, there's a part in the game where Marty is like making prank phone calls as
you
Doc.
To call up
I couldn't finish
Doc.
It.
Yeah.
I
forgot about that.
Not smart.
That's okay. You'll get there one day. But so yeah, there's this one part where they're
level.
What was that?
I got to the gravity bone level. Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. But yeah, there's this one part where you make a prank phone call as Marty, and it's, you know, you're supposed to sound like Doc. So they were like, can you do a Chris Lloyd? And I was like, maybe, let's try this. And so I, you know, it actually wound up being pretty good. I don't know if I could do it right now. I'm not sure I have the capacity to. It was just, oh, Edna, this is a, it's Doc. I need you to come down and get me. And it was kind of terrible, but I was afraid that, you know, Christopher Lloyd was like right outside the door too. And I was waiting for him at any second.
He locked himself out again, didn't he?
Yes. I can't get in. But I was terrified at any second he was going to walk into the recording studio.
So is it you playing Marty playing Doc?
Playing Doc. It's Marty playing Doc, which was really weird.
Love it. But we often have John Donahue playing Owen Wilson.
With himself.
Actually.
I do that in a corner, and eventually I come over and do a Jeff Goldblum noise.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ah. Ah.
Yeah.
The lotion.
Right. That's just fabulous. Does anyone remember Vibes?
Oh, God, with Cyndi Lauper?
Yeah.
Directed by Ken Kwapis.
This is a point, it's about 86, a point in time where I saw every movie in the theater.
Because you were in every movie in the theater.
No, not yet. That was later, next year. I know, I was, thanks, John.
No problem.
Somebody's got to stroke my ego.
That's not all.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the table. I can't hear it for you.
Dude, what is that? No, man.
Threw you off.
Great, great entry. Welcome to LA. Have you been out in LA? Where are you from?
From Jersey. 2 years, though. I've been here roughly 2 years. Yeah, 2 years next month.
Homeless 2 years.
It's been a rough 2 years.
I've been homeless 2 years. Yeah. I've been living with John.
He's right outside Skid Row Studios.
We almost had a sixth guest tonight, but that's okay. We won't get into that.
I'm still pushing for that guy.
Yeah. Well, welcome, and thanks. You know, if anyone out there has questions about just having balls—the balls to call—you don't know how to do it. There's many people that say that and they use an excuse.
That's what I'm doing on Monday. I'm going to spend my Monday just making phone calls and leaving voicemails as Marty McFly.
Yeah. I mean, voicemails
that'll go well. That'll be.
You might want to gear it for specific situations jobs.
Just,
I don't
just
think
do it that way.
That's actually that was the thing. Is I called everyone in the world as Marty McFly. I'm going to get someone. Someone's going to be into this.
Finally, in accounting, they're like, help this boy out.
Someone, please help him.
Yeah, he won't stop calling.
That are worse. They're like, Michael J. Fox keeps calling us. He thinks he's still in Back to the Future.
Have you met Michael J. Fox? Have you heard from him? Is he pissed
sadly
at you?
That's I don't know. I heard there's a hit out on me from him. No, I've never met him. I actually he
can
recorded.
You do Tracy Pollan?
What?
You could do them both. That'd be a winning combination, wouldn't it?
If you could do an impression of Michael J. Fox doing Tracy Pollan.
With Christopher Lloyd locked outside the door.
You know, I'm not even going to touch
that. Okay, sorry.
That's a difficulty level.
Get harpooned by someone.
That's just...
AJ, please continue with your...
No, I don't remember what I was talking to.
Yeah,
it's only an hour show.
Oh, I met Michael J. Fox. No, he did, like, the session that he did for, you know, for the game. He was sort of, like... He was in the game at the end, and it was... Well, I don't want to spoil the game, but I'm going to. Is everyone all right with
go
that?
Go ahead, sure.
This is a spoiler-friendly
spoiler
show.
Spoiler alert.
Basically, a bunch of Marty show up at the end of the game. So there's multiple. It's like me yelling at, you know, Michael J. Fox as Marty, as older Marty, yelling at Doc. And it's just all sorts of chaos. And he recorded in New York. So it was kind of like, it was him, the director, and like the sound guy. And that was it. He was like, I just want to do this, you know, at my own studio. And not be bothered by. Because originally we were going to have, I don't know if I could say this, but I'm going to.
Yeah, okay.
Originally we were going to have like me, Chris Lloyd, and him all in one room.
And we're sued.
Yeah, exactly. But they decided that would be way too hectic. So, but yeah.
Because Chris gets startled easily.
Yeah. He's a very calm guy. I don't think anything could startle him.
That's what they're afraid of.
I'm here in too many Martys. He will explode.
Oh, Michael's everywhere. That's actually that was the first thing he said to me. It's like, oh, I thought you were Michael. You sound exactly like Michael. And I was like, that's cool, man. Like, I was just sort of like,
that's good. You sound just like Christopher Lloyd.
But you look nothing like him.
Yeah, exactly.
Has everyone seen the Claudia Wells video?
No, Claudia Wells from Back to the Future.
The original.
The original.
Absolutely. Yeah, they tracked her down in retail and got her in shop, actually. What?
I tracked her down.
You did?
I was in the game, right?
I was the one that got her in the game. I could take full credit for that.
Awesome.
They were trying to get a hold of her, and they couldn't get a hold of her for whatever reason, and she was like, I really want to be in the game, and she was trying to contact them. So
Rhoda
somehow,
is pissed at you for...
Rhoda would take her calls.
I'm not getting any more checks.
That's cool.
Yeah. So basically, I got a call one day that was like, you know, hey, we were trying to get Claudia Wells in. I don't remember the exact details. And I was like, I know where she is. Like, her store is like down the street from me. It's in, where is it? It's in Studio City. She has a store, an Armani store. Yeah. And she'll be very happy I said that, by the way. Armani Wells.
She'll be flooded with dozens of customers now.
Go exactly.
Should have brought her in.
I'm sure she'd love to. But I literally ran in the store and I was like, is Claudia here? And that was pretty much it.
Really?
I'm missing a whole gap. I saw her at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. That's where I saw her.
Oh, because they recreated that dance.
Yeah, they recreated the dance, and that's where I saw her. She was leaving after, like, people were, like, chasing her, and there was all sorts of fans, like, looking for autographs and stuff. And you look confused. Did you not know there was a huge Enchantment Under the Sea dance?
For reals? Where did they do that?
Oh, yeah, in the original location.
At the AME Church at the North of Highland?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They had a big
Back to the Future. I finally figured out that's where they shot it.
I played Johnny B. Good.
As Christopher Lloyd.
It was that's a childhood dream. AJ's
role in the Back to the Future legacy deepened.
That's pretty cool though for being a fan of Back to the Future.
You have no
and
idea.
And now you're involved in this world. Now, have you heard from any of the filmmakers, Zemeckis or Bob
Gale? I mean, Bob Gale, I've talked to a couple times.
Yes, he mentioned your name when we interviewed him on the hoverboard story.
Did he?
Beyond the Marquee.
That's awesome.
He did.
He's an awesome guy.
He said your name is Carl, but that's.
Yeah, he's like,
Carl Castillo.
No, he knew your name.
No, yeah, he's a totally cool guy. I saw him at the Enchantment of the Sea dance too, and I was like, hey, sir, I don't know if you remember me. He's like, yeah, you're Marty. And I was like,
Who all came to the Enchantment Under the Sea?
The Enchantment.
Who came to the Enchantment of the Sea?
Yeah, who had Chitlins at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance?
Everyone. They had like tons of the cast. They had, can't even remember, but they had like Mayor Goldie Wilson and people that were like, that you were just like, like they had the wallet guy who was there.
Yeah.
I think he stole his wallet. Like he was there and a bunch of random people that you're just like, wow, that's really cool. Like
and
Mr. Strickland.
Was Billy Zane there? Did Billy Zane show up?
I don't remember.
Drew Struzan. Drew Struzan was there.
Courtney Gaines.
Drew Struzan was there.
Drew Struzan was
there.
Absolutely
he was there signing Back to the Future posters.
Yeah, I made an ass out of myself in front of him. I was like, my whole wall is covered in things you've made. And he just looked
covered in skin?
Macaroni portraits.
Covered in things that, I go through your dumpster.
Go through your garbage.
Exactly.
It's a DeLorean made of pasta.
He's painted Keith. I'm still pissed to this day. I'm not pissed. I'm jealous that Keith was painted by Drew Struzan in the Adventures in Babysitting poster.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Drew painted Keith, and Keith said, what, there's a poster? And I'm Keith, it's...
That's the only ultimate. One that was ever not based on a photograph. Mm-hmm. Everything else was based on some set, like a production still, and then they made the poster and sometimes would paint over that. But they did take stills of us, or they gave like production stills to Drew just so he had a reference for us, but we never were in that, like that shot or whatever ever happened.
You guys never climbed on each other like that? Elizabeth
<Hell drove. laughs> never came outside the Smurfit Stoner contained building and climbed on a building. But they,
that's how you get in here every Saturday. It's all of us climbing up a rope.
Out the window, yeah.
We're actually going to interview Drew Struzan on Beyond the Marquee for his new documentary.
John Donahue's a great, like two-parter interview already you posted with Drew.
On another website, which shall not be mentioned. But it's an interview with Drew Struzan, and he's just the greatest guy. He's like the official Indiana Jones artist. Star Wars, Back to the Future, all the Back to the Future posters, you name it, he's painted it, and my walls are covered in his skin too.
He's painted Harrison Ford more than any other actor.
More than any other actor, he's painted Harrison Ford. And I think this documentary that's coming out with him, he went to see Harrison Ford. He had never met Harrison Ford up until like a year ago.
Wow, really?
After painting him for almost 30 years, and Harrison knew exactly who he was when Drew Struzan walked in the
door. I had Raiders. I had the Raiders one. Mm-hmm. He didn't do Star Wars, though, right?
He did the special editions and a few, and he did do an original Star Wars that was overseas. Yes. They call it the Circus Poster. That is right. And with another artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember who the other artist is.
That's why I like you, AG. You're on the same page.
I'm on, yeah.
The same page.
Me and you, we're connected.
Right here. I'm looking right at you.
The great circle of life.
It's crazy.
Nah, and yeah.
I just did that, too. I was like, nah. And I was like, wait, that's not me.
People started doing that online and holding up their small animals.
Like, their babies.
Yeah.
Don't
put the goldfish back.
Up when he did it.
Thank you.
See what's going on.
We've hit an impasse at the call sheet. It's fun. Mean? We're having a lot of fun. And it's a bunch of guys that here love these same fucking movies. They really don't make them like they used to. I mean, I love The Dark Knight Rises.
I saw it twice.
Spider-Man is great.
Wait,
no way. Sorry, downtown LA, they have like knockoff cheap, like copyright ripoff stuff, and they have Spader-Man, Spader-Man.
Do they use clips of James Spader in there? Like, totally. Shots of Spader from Tough Turf?
No, Tough Riff Turf. from Less Than Zero.
Tough Turf.
It's for children. No, had the posters, used them in art department in a movie, left them on a set in downtown LA. And so I have all these old posters sitting up in a crack house in downtown. And these crack addicts are probably like,
so you know exactly where they are.
They're like, dude, Blade Runner. That's such a cool poster.
You left a Blade Runner?
Fuck yeah.
You're insane.
I tried to sell them. I couldn't
you know
get
them.
They're
much
like,
money
the
crease,
that's worth? The edges are torn. Oh, I won't give you any money. And I was like, fine, I put them in a movie. Money. And I left them on the set.
At least still mad at you for
you've
that.
You've enriched the lives of
crack whores everywhere.
They probably
is
just
it Jaws up there?
Oh, Keith.
I know. Jaws, oh Star gosh. Wars, Raiders. A weird one.
Citizen
Beanie and Cecil.
Kane.
Beanie and Cecil.
Yeah, and it was one of those Mylar, and they painted over the Mylar, and the paint was all like cracked. It was like an original early 70s Beanie
and you and left an original
Casablanca.
Casablanca. Charlie Chaplin, a couple of those.
We had some reels of the kid. We just left. We don't know.
It
was nitrate. It went up in flames. No. We had family members poach.
Crack houses go up in flames.
No, we got a print of the kid.
Pipes off
and we had one of my uncles, Anthony Coogan. I think he's passed. He poached it and physically went in and removed scenes from our only print of the kid given to us by the Chaplin Estate. And we go to look at it and show it at like a college event or something. We're like, we'll pull out the print and we'll play it. How fun. And all of a sudden there's scenes skipping and missing and skipping.
And there's reaction shots of James Spader.
From Tough Turf.
All of a sudden, James Spader comes in.
Unbelievable.
There's no way to get back on track now.
To begin with?
I had a plan, okay?
What's your plan?
The plan was to welcome our great guest.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm glad to be here.
I didn't know everybody would get to be as illuminated in how having balls and just trying something. I don't know. I'll make a call. I'll send a letter or whatever. It really can pay off. That's amazing. That is a great story on leaving the voicemail. And they don't make those kinds of movies. The third one,
mm-hmm.
Name them. Name the third movie in a franchise that was as good or held up.
Toy Story.
Back to the Future 3 is actually one of my favorites.
Yep. Well, Alien 3, crap.
Alien 3 is crap.
Okay. Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises
is like Return of the Jedi. You go, okay.
Yeah, I accept
you
it.
You just couldn't live up to the second
Keith,
one.
Keith, I'm going to let all the fans know. I'm going to out you, AJ.
Yeah,
okay, good.
AJ is the voice of Batman in The Dark Knight Rises. whenever he dons the costume, that's AJ going, I'm Batman.
Yeah,
that's AJ.
That's right now, AJ. My mouth. They replaced my mouth into his mouth.
Just do it, AJ. Just do it. Do it. Say, hey, Batman, come here.
Why would Batman say that?
No, I'm saying it to you.
Hey.
I'm helping you.
What do you want?
See? Oh, my God. I just got chills.
So much like Marty McFly doing Christian Bale doing Batman. What do you want? It's amazing.
What's funny is sometimes his Welsh comes in.
You can hear that when he gets angry.
Yeah, you can hear it. Really, when he's angry, you can hear his accent comes through. It's okay.
The Marty.
Oh, did the gray hair?
Yeah.
Yes, that's Michael Caine's real gray hair.
I'm not quite buying it. Sorry, we are going to talk about Dark Knight, right? I saw it again, by the way, so I've seen it twice now.
He's had a hard life, Keith.
Hard, like,
he's missing cartilage in his knees. He gets beat up at night.
I was confused about the beard. Did he trim the beard to look like he was been sitting in his house for a very long time? He was, it's like, oh man, he's been a hermit for years.
He became the Mount of
trims.
He became the Count of Monte Cristo. He's
he looked very put together. I was like, no, he looks great.
Every once every 4 years.
He'd actually just shaved 3 weeks ago, so it was trimmed. Wasn't full, like, you know.
Yeah, when I saw the cartilage thing, they're like, he has no cartilage left in his legs. I was like, there goes the movie. It's like, just end. That's it.
And the credits roll right after
that. No, they said that, and then they did the call to action, and he's like, fine, I'll go be Batman. The first thing they show is him standing on top of a huge bridge or a spire.
Right.
Like, looking over the city, and I went, why did you waste the energy to climb that fucker first?
What? You know what I want to do first?
Did he fly up there or grapple up there? Because if he didn't, I'd be pretty pissed at him wasting the knee on that. We have a caller in the 213. Thank you, caller. Welcome. How are you?
This is the real Batman.
That's Michael J. Fox.
213 is the Gotham City area code.
Michael J. Fox, I promise you.
Some people just
want to. Now I'm just scared. I'm actually creeped out.
Batman, how is it? Are you happy with the box office numbers?
Well, to be honest, I thought it could be a little better. But with that ending, you know, you got to kind of wonder.
I actually teared up. The ending was probably the most solid part of the movie. Well, so before the like capping everything, just the whole final part of the fight, I was totally on board and moved deeply. Oh, by the way, second viewing of Dark Knight Rises is amazing because your expectations are now managed and the story is quite good. The storytelling is great and the humor. There's way much more humor in it than I remember the first pass. Do you agree, Batman?
I agree with you. But then again, you know, I saw it bootleg. I saw my own movie bootleg, so I might have to go for the whole, you know, movie experience.
Is this because you're in hiding? Why
is James Spader calling?
No, because if he shows up in the outfit, security will be all over him.
Go as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, can't do that.
They already know Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Just about everybody does. Yeah. At one point in the movie, they were like on a megaphone, dude, Bruce Wayne's totally Batman.
He can't
come back from that.
They showed it on Fox News, like they laid over the chins.
I actually have an original VHS of The Fox and the Hound that I want you to sign.
That's a good voiceover. Were you the fox or the hound? I forgot.
I was the voice for the fox. Yeah. You're all going to die. You're all going to die a slow...
You were a Disney animal.
And, you know, of course, the hound was Corey Feldman.
Oh, your buddy.
Donatello.
Hound dog.
Buddy, yeah. Donatello.
Hound dog.
I totally knew that.
I totally knew that. You sound a little like Corey. Is this Corey?
Batman, I want to make a suggestion to you because this is something that's really been weighing on my heart since the first movie. Dude, go get yourself a lozenge. You know, maybe some kind of something with menthol, maybe, you know.
I like the rugged voice.
I do too. It's manly.
I'm constantly listening to the radio just smoking tons of weed. This is why my voice is like that.
I heard the Welsh pop out there for a minute.
When he gets angry or really high, the accent comes through.
I can't keep this up.
It's me, Robin.
All right. Who is this?
This is...
There we go.
My name's Manny. I'm actually the boyfriend of your sound.
Yeah. Oh, hey, Manny. How are you? Thank you. I know. I met you a couple weeks ago. Thank you so much for doing that. That's awesome.
It's funny. I didn't know who you were when I I know who you were, but at the time I was like into drawing on the wall and doing all this stuff, and then Mindy told me like who you were, and I was like, no shit. And I just had to fuck with you for a little bit.
We had to beep you out twice just now, by the way.
Thank you. No, there's no beeping, not on the call sheet at SkidRowStudios.com.
Hell yeah.
I understand drawing on the wall.
Yeah, a big fan. I really do have a copy of Fox and the Hound I want you to sign. And
he was just drawing Keith Coogan done. Must die over you, and over.
Oh no, totally.
Next week or something, and see what's up. Also, you know, check out Dangerously Sleazy if you ever get a chance.
I pumped them for the past 2 weeks, bro.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you guys. We were watching your stuff on YouTube, and you guys rock.
Cool, cool. Also,
Dangerous. Like, when's your next gig, by the way?
Our next gig is non-existent at the moment.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to be there. We will be there.
We're playing nowhere. Well, we're actually looking for new bass players. If you know anyone rocking on the bass, or if you want to try out, you know, we're always looking.
Gabe?
Wow. Yeah, I can hold a bass.
Gabe can hold a bass.
Holding the bass.
He can hold a hat.
My bass is red. I can play it okay, but it's kind of cool. It's red, if that helps me be in the
AJ
band.
AJ has the rock band bass.
Yeah. I actually don't. I just have the mic. I don't even have the game.
Oh, that's see, rock, hey, rock band's awesome. Don't knock rock band. I learned a lot of stuff rock band.
Did you learn how to play Johnny B. Goode on the guitar? Rock band?
It doesn't count until you can play it behind your head. It's just
those songs like Dragon Force or like. I learned how to play all those like cool songs. Even though I never really like, you know, gave a shit before, but whatever.
Well, Dragon Force. Thanks for calling in, Manny, and thanks for your great Batman. That was great.
Yeah.
I was totally fooled.
Call back with a Michael Caine now.
I'm going to get everybody. I can't even get that low. Totally, bring it. Give the tape or come in next Saturday or whatever, whenever we can see you, and I'll totally sign the Fox and the Hound VHS.
Yeah.
Nice.
I've for got our a listening beta audience for that is you. Younger, they used to have these things that were really thick. Like, okay, take a CD or a DVD box. Okay, imagine it being like an inch thick, and actually they had designed the first CD cases to fit into the old LP, like length or sizes, and we got all echo, and we're like, oh, winnow it down in terms of packaging. But
were you approached for Fox and the Hound 2?
No.
Okay.
They're like, we got all we can use of Keith in the first one.
No, everyone, Pat Buttram, Pearl Bailey, gone. I don't think they approached Mickey Rooney or...
Who does approach Mickey Rooney, really?
I'd be afraid to.
I approached Mickey Rooney once. He was actually really nice.
Was he?
He was really nice. No. I honestly thought he was going to... He was trying to make it up a curb. He couldn't do it. So I actually met him at the curb. I was like, okay, do I help Mickey Rooney or do I back off?
You push him?
Or do you push him? No, and I went up and he held his hands out. It was like a dog. It was like
we can hear him. He's listening. He's like a toddler.
What's he saying about me? So he's got his hands out, and I helped him up the curb, and he was glowing. He was just so happy. He was like, "I'm Mickey Rooney, and I'm alive, and I made it up this curb." And
not anymore.
And then he didn't.
Who helped
didn't
you
bite
up the curb?
I thought he was gonna bite my hands. I'm so hungry.
I'm scared he'd hit you with his eyebrows.
It was like Gollum. It was like helping Gollum up off the street.
Man,
a little old Gollum.
People make fun movies. I didn't see In Time, or what was the one with
Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Amanda Seyfried. I actually really enjoyed that one.
Wasn't Olivia Wilde in that too?
No, that was Tron.
No, that was Tron.
It looked like the same
was
thing.
No, that was Amanda Seyfried.
No, Amy Seyfried was in Time.
Oh, okay.
No, Olivia Wilde wasn't in that.
There's been a
Who
lot
played
of
his mom?
Techno ones.
Are you sure? I'm pretty sure she was in it.
I could be wrong.
Malone, you should know this stuff. Oh, he's pulling up the phone.
He's
pulling
up the phone. Fastest one there.
All these moves, we're out of time. We're out of money. Oh, my God. We're all going to die.
Time is money.
Or they're going to get invaded by Samantha. Did you see all 3D movies are the same? Have you seen the cut on Funny or
Yeah,
Die?
It's very funny. It's actually on beyondthemarquee.com.
It is on Beyond the Marquee.
We posted
Beyond
it because we thought it was hilarious.
Something from Funny or Die.
They compared the movies.
They showed similar clips with all the 3D movies coming. And then something blue shoots into the sky. Then...
AJ did the narration for that. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Which movie?
Yeah, it's Jeff Goldblum.
It's Jeff Goldblum. You should watch that trailer.
Now, 3D. AJ, I have to plug this because I watched it today. It's amazing. AJ's doing this new show called Yesterday Tonight, which is, it's a look back at anyone who grew up in the 80s or the 90s and like drank Ecto Cooler and...
you guys are talking about this in the car. We carpool. It's in the Ecto machine.
Because we want Ecto Cooler back. Yeah. AJ's going to bring Ecto Cooler back.
That's my goal, is to bring Ecto Cooler back. And Ninja Turtle pudding pies. I don't know if you guys ever had
those. Yeah, they were green. The pudding was green.
The pudding was
wacky
green.
Wacky wall crawlers. So let's bring those. We have a caller from the 407. What up?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Awesome. Doing Where's 407? Where are you
it's
calling
Orlando.
From?
I'm all right.
Orlando, Florida.
Nice. Nice. Thanks for calling the call sheet. Thanks for listening. How can we help
no problem,
you?
Man. No, I was actually trying to get to the call-in sheet.
This is the call sheet.
You're on.
You are on. Where's live.
Is John Donahue on?
Is this Michael Roddy?
It is Michael Roddy.
Michael Roddy is the producer of a wonderful documentary called The Shark Is Still Working. It's going to be on
Michael,
the Jaws Blu-ray.
Michael, I met you the night we saw Jaws. John at Jaws at the Vista. Was it the Vista?
Was it the Vista? I think it was.
And,
we've had quite a bit. Then we've seen, didn't we go to another Jaws screening after that too? And then we watched it at Smod Castle. We watched The Shark Is Still Working.
That's right. We went with you to the Smod Castle and Keith kept getting up to go outside to smoke or whatever kicking he does. He kept kicking cord. The projector cord out.
And knocking it out. That was
Kevin Smith.
That was the night he got bitch slapped by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, that was fun.
Right.
He's like, can I see you over here? How is it going, man? You are, by the way, congratulations on getting your God, it took years. It took so much. You went through legal challenges. You got it on the fucking Blu-ray. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Wow, thanks. Yeah, I'm flying out tomorrow morning to visit the lovely Los Angeles County and hanging out with Donahue. Tuesday, they're doing press for the release of the Blu-ray, which is going to be great. And then I'm working on my new documentary called Monster Kids.
Fantastic. We got some stuff for you from Monster Kids, by the way. We'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Cool.
Interview with Charles Band.
Yeah, I heard. That's awesome.
From Full
Beyond
Moon.
The Marquees. Beyond the Marquees, an awesome site. I think the world of it. I think it's one of those that just, it's got cool reviews. It gets good news. I love the opinion of everybody on there. It's very smart and very savvy.
So. You like Malone?
Nobody likes Malone.
Malone's a great critic.
Tell us real quick more about Monster Kids.
Monster Kids is about the impact of classic horror and horror hosts and Famous Monsters magazine on the youth of America back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and how, you know, horror can be a positive thing sometimes and stirs the imagination. It's not something that's going to ruin society, as many parents used to worry about.
Saved so my ass.
Rock and roll.
Dude, that was when you said 70s, finally it got to me and Fangoria and FX magazine, which is still a favorite. FX is beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Jason, Freddy, Michael,
the
people that kept
monsters.
Us up at nights. And also, I imagine, and you said hosts, I know you're coming out of some earlier, but for me it was, Elvira, that, I watched such crappy movies because of
USA, right?
Yep.
She used to be on the USA Network, I remember, up all night or something like that for a while.
And then had her big movie, too. I was exposed to all of that. I went and saw House of Wax in 3D down on Wilshire when it played there.
And I think, Showtime had Tales of the Crypt?
It was HBO.
I couldn't remember which one.
Yeah.
It was one.
Oh, yeah.
Unboxing.
Now, I also remember Tales from the Dark Side. That affected me deeply at 14, 15
years old. You were
in one.
Tales from the Crypt.
But Tales from the Dark Side was a totally
That was a great show.
Story.
Totally
they shouldn't
different.
Have allowed
that.
That
was
on
the
TV.
Romero version. That was Laurel Entertainment. So it was primarily Stephen King and George Romero and Tom Savini.
I need to start trying to trade on my name. I mean, relation, but
Romero,
still.
Romero, really should.
Yeah, I'm a Romero, man.
You did genre
Nobody
films.
Nobody needs to know that.
Gabe wants to make, romantic comedies. And,
that's not true.
And he's like an Aaron Sorkin fan. No, you got to do zombie pictures,
he's
Gabe.
He's an Aaron Moran fan.
I've been kicking around this idea of zombies ran the White House. I think, they can't walk very fast, but they can talk fast, So
I heard you guys starting to talk about Dark Knight.
Yes.
Yeah, Rises.
Love it.
Who loved it?
I loved it. I saw it twice, second time in IMAX.
Really?
You didn't like it. Sounds like you didn't like it.
It was okay.
That means you didn't like it.
They made a movie.
I can tell by your tone.
I had some issues with it, but no, it's fun. It's a fun movie.
Go ahead.
No, it just sucks that what happened in, Colorado is really kind of, that's such a tragedy, and it's just, I don't know, it's going to change movies. I hear they're not going to do midnight screenings anymore and stuff like that, and that's just a shame that one man's action, however horrific, that act,
I need to find a way to separate the behavior from the venue, because I think that as we get further and further in time, this is a random act of violence, and I don't think it's tied to. And many essayists have come on and said, you know what, we really can't point fingers at Hollywood, because I've been exposed to every single thing this other person has been exposed to. How come it didn't trigger me to go nuts?
Well, and I think it's going to be, you know, call me a cynic, but this isn't going to put an end to midnight screenings. Midnight screenings make too much money.
They were talking about it.
It better not.
They might suspend it. They might say we're not going to do it anymore. But in, you know, 4 years, when this is, you know, just another beat on the news.
No, and you know what? Also, that in lining up with them canceling the big premieres, they're like, you know what, out of respect, we're just not going to have this party on the red carpet. Sure. Then maybe that for a week or two, let's go find midnight screenings, the next big tentpole picture, maybe not. I don't know, let the audiences demand it.
But did you see, originally now, they're saying that his original plans were to go to a red carpet premiere and kill the cast.
Yeah, that was his original plan.
It wasn't even to go. So now, what are you going to stop those two? Or, I mean, he could have gone in at 10 in the morning and shot the first show. It wouldn't have
sold out. Have you been to Hollywood and Highland when they're having a premiere? It's just a bag of crazy.
Yeah.
And they're 10 feet from every big star that's coming in.
And it's wall-to-wall.
There's no way you can do that. You can't legislate and try to protect everybody from this lightning out of the blue, million in one shot. Work on the factors that got us there, the pressure for education and income and what's happening in the economy, the family structure, gay, straight, bi, lesbian, or trans. That's still a family. Sorry, just getting a little anti-Chick-fil-A moment.
You were very political.
Yesterday I saw Sarah Palin posted the goddamn picture of her. I added Sarah Palin months ago,
years ago,
as a friend because I wanted to keep track on her. So I did. And so last night I saw the picture.
Chick-fil-A.
Like 15 minutes after she posts it, I see the Chick-fil-A picture, her and Todd, two bags of Chick-fil-A in Chick-fil-A with the thumbs up. And the quote was like, supporting a great American business. I go, you cunt. Anyway, I just posted it.
Is that what
reposted
it said?
Yeah.
It said supporting a great American business, you cunt?
No.
That's what it was when Keith shared it on Facebook.
I shared it and I didn't leave a comment. All I said was she would. That's all I said.
Yeah.
And everyone got on. It was like more comments I've ever gotten for anything I posted ever. It was crazy. And she has 164,000 shares, hundreds of thousands of likes on her own picture of people going, "You're right, honey."
The Muppets have more likes, I guarantee it.
The Muppets should have more likes.
They do, because they're cooler.
Now, I guess the Berenstain Bears are also.
Do the Muppets eat Chick-fil-A?
I don't know if you guys knew this.
They were the toys.
I'll pay $100,000 for a picture of Kermit eating Chick-fil-A.
AJ was the voice of Kermit in the new Muppet movie. I don't know if you guys knew that. So.
I was not the voice.
You do know the Muppet.
It was in the Muppet video game.
I heard that they yanked it.
Yeah, but now I guess the Berenstain Bears are also somehow like, I don't know if they're the replacement.
Well, the Berenstain Bears, the author's dead. They can go line that up with Chick-fil-A if they want.
No subtlety about that.
Don't you think the Berenstain Bears guys are probably just like, oh, here's an opportunity. Hey, we don't like it either. Remember us, the Berenstain Bears.
Remember us. You got a slight bump on Muppet. Google Trends when the author died, and now we're back.
Yeah.
Jumping on the Chick-fil-A wagon.
Yeah. Well,
they said the Huffington Post was.
I think it's ironic that they're saying kids were getting their fingers stuck in Muppets. That's just wrong on so many levels.
That was wrong. I still have a Muppet on my finger. Haven't gotten it off.
Well, is that a Muppet? Finger.
That might not be a Muppet. it might be one of those hookers down here.
I just remember my parents had some terrible joke about eating pork. I don't.
Oh, no.
It was really bad. Yeah.
I think I know the punchline.
Were pretty bad. Yeah, that's the punchline.
Oh, yeah, and the frog in the throat. Yeah.
Thanks for. And I did want to bring up Dark Knight Rises again. We've had a little time since the incident in Aurora, 13 miles and 13 years from Columbine. Aurora is still going through it. The fact that Christian Bale went and Batmaned up and actually visited the hospital and stuff was killer.
Yeah.
That was great.
Unbelievably great. They were thrilled. They were like, my God.
The pictures were just their faces were, you know, just, it's just a nice little light. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're like guard number three in the movie, you're not going to go visit people. Yeah. But you're like, I'm Batman and I'm the Dark Knight and I'm sorry you got hurt at this thing.
Yeah. Well, he should.
And the thing that I love too is it sincerely did not seem like anything other than Christian Bale needing to do that because he was so outraged,
right?
And it was the one thing he could do,
you know, and I think that's amazing. I mean, every photo you see is just fantastic. And I love, too, that, you know, Warner Brothers said, this is not, he was not sent by us. He's going on his own. You know, I love that. Good for him. And, you know, it's one of those things. He is a superhero. He's a modern day superhero. And that's like Christopher Reeve, you know, doing something like that. It's just amazing.
He doesn't do that anymore.
You know, and the commerce continues, and to be perfectly honest, here's my political statement about the Patriot Act and 9/11 and the fact that, you know what, we're going to continue on and do what we do. We're not going to let you take our freedoms away. And this is a testament to the strength of people. Warner Brothers continue. We're going to make movies. We're going to release them. Dark Knight Rises is going to go on to be great success in Blu-ray, DVD, and on-demand and downloads, and it's going to be one of the biggest, most watched films ever. Mm-hmm. It is great, and it's richer on the second experience. I suggest go see it again.
Go see it again. I'll say it with you, Michael Roddy.
Right, I'll go see. Well, you know what? Let's go this week sometime, John.
Let's go. How long are you in town for? Can I ask you that on the air?
Sure. I'm there till next Saturday.
Oh, what's so you can't come on the show next weekend.
Your Facebook password?
What's your bank account number?
What's your PIN number?
How much are you making off that Jaws?
Nice job. Congratulations again on
that
getting
is really great.
Working, which I was the best, most deepest look at the making of Jaws. It surpasses all of the written, the printed, the Jaws log, the making of Jaws, all that stuff. It puts it all together, goes beyond it. And you pulled in interviews with people that traditionally have never even gone on camera to talk about Jaws. And you have them hosting it. Thank you for bringing that to us.
That's awesome. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, that was our intent. You know, we were finding these stories that had never been told. I mean, everybody had heard the Dreyfus story about the shark not working and things like that. But, you know, there's people that were still on that island that did this movie. Yeah, and they're still there.
They are.
You know, and then there's also people like Percy Rodriguez, who did the trailer narration, who never got any accolades, or Roger Castell, who did that amazing poster art.
Beautiful.
And no one even knew his name. And you know what else? He also did the poster for Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, the Gone with the Wind portrait.
Yeah.
Mm. They both hang in my office / bedroom.
John Donahue.
That's me.
John
I can't wait to see you, man. And I hope we get to go to your to the Jaws event on Tuesday.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Cool. That'd be cool, man.
Well, thanks for calling, Michael.
I just wanted to call and say, yeah, man, I love what you guys do. And thanks. And also, I meant to tell you, I loved when you used to do the monologues and when you did the Quint one. That was awesome.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. That was great, man. Thanks. That should be on the frickin' Blu-ray.
Appreciate it. Two Quints, the luring him in to get the job to get the shark. And I also did the Indianapolis speech.
Well, it was the Indianapolis one that I really loved, man. That was really,
there's no
really
Scottish accent or anything. It's just my interpretation of the speech.
Great.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, because that obviously everybody loves that part. And
that's what I liked about your monologues, though. Huh. Is that you brought your own twist to them.
Hey, I'll see you tomorrow, man.
Appreciate it. All right, man. You guys have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
Travel safe.
Bye.
Ooh.
Say anything to him.
That was cool. Michael Roddy called.
That is so cool. Michael Roddy
he's
called.
Great.
I have so great respect for
his
flim. It was really good.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple versions of it too. I've seen now.
There's
the complete
a 3-hour cut of The Shark is still working and like a 2-hour cut, and I've seen them all. And they're amazing. If you're a Jaws fan, this is the documentary you want to see. And it's going to be on the Blu-ray, which is great. It's been a long journey for those guys. And years and years of trying to get Universal to pick this up. So
tons
it's great
of
that
footage
they,
you've never seen, yeah. Stories you've never heard,
a lock
all brought together. And they cover every single aspect of the film.
And you get a lock of Lorraine Gary's hair in each Blu-ray. Yeah.
You know how like on DVDs you get a lock of whose hair?
I don't even know
hair?
What that means. I have no idea what that means.
They're karate chopping my fence.
I got to ask.
Yeah.
You see any good trailers this
yeah,
week?
I did. And fuck, I have less time in the call sheet tonight to talk about a trailer that I saw that you happened to be in the film playing
briefly.
Several characters.
Almost two. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know what's in it.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Donahue is going to be in probably one of the biggest movies. Okay, I've been trying to build towards this. They make huge tentpole movies, action stuff. They make important independent films about how we're all connected and everything. This movie tries to tell the biggest story you've ever seen over hundreds of thousands of years from the past into the future, how we're all connected, And they said, we can't communicate this in a 2-minute trailer. So online, Cloud Atlas, and this is the Wachowski siblings.
And Tom Tickfer.
And Tom Tickfer, who directed...
Run, Lola, Run.
Thank you. By the way, just the presentation of them talking about introducing
it. Yeah, the Wachowskis don't do a lot of press, so I was happy
almost
to see
Lana
and Andy and Tom Tickfer do a nice little intro to the trailer. So if you go on iTunes, Apple Trailers or mm-hmm. Apple...
Apple.com/trailers.
Right. You can watch their intro and they'll explain it. And then the five and a half minute.
And it is, it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable.
Every
it's
actor.
In scope and scale.
Oh, it's
across
amazing.
Time, the emotional performances. I'm sure it's, you know, everything, the writing, everything, the story they're trying to tell looks pretty damned ambitious. And it looks like it's going to be one of my favorite movies.
I hope so. I'll see it with you.
Tom looks great in it.
Six characters.
Halle Berry looks great in
six
it.
Six characters. Every actor plays six characters. And all men are women, women are men. I mean, Hugo Weaving is amazing in it. Everybody's amazing. It's going to be incredible. Weaving. And Hugh Grant, everything. You've never seen Hugh Grant like this before. You've never seen Hugh Grant.
I remember you were telling me.
That was just one. He's in he's in that trailer, I think, twice, but he's in it, and you probably won't recognize him.
I only recognize the one where he really looked like Hugh Grant. Wait. I didn't recognize the other one.
You
and
should
I've
see
watched
him.
The trailer a couple times.
I don't know if I want to give it away. I'm going to wait. He's in the trailer, but it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
So it's called Cloud Atlas.
Based on a book.
It's pretty phenomenal. Where'd you guys film?
It's an epic. We shot that in Germany. Mallorca, Spain, and then the other unit went to Glasgow. Two separate movie crews were shooting at the same time. Tom Tickfer was doing like three of the stories, and the Wachowskis were doing like three of the other three stories. And it takes place in the past, future, present, and it's insane. It's crazy.
Really looks insane, but it also looks like it's pretty designed to kind of like not be all over the place. It looks like it's going to grab you.
The script is amazing.
Yeah.
I heard the book is difficult. I haven't read the book.
Talk about in the intro, they talk about we took the script, which is, you know, to make a movie out of a book, it's like, it could change quite a bit. They're like, we put it together, we gave it to the author, and we were like, if he's not down for it, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And it was a big thumbs up. He's like, I'm thrilled by this. Go for it.
Yeah, it's a huge cast. Jim
Congratulations
Sturgis.
On being involved.
Oh, thank you. It was amazing. Thank you, Keith.
You, Hallie, did it happen?
Close. Oh my gosh, so close. She gave me a bottle of wine and a nice card when we finished filming.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have people on the show that Halle Berry gives bottles of wine to. This is...
Yeah, but of all the things that Halle Berry gives away, a bottle of wine, that's kind of...
She was driving that night. Listen, thank you for calling all of our guests for coming in. Thank you, AJ.
AJ!
Angie LoCascio, who's in not only the Back to the Future video games, but is also Jeff Goldblum's utterances, I guess, in 30 Floors of Loving. 30 Flights of Loving.
That's right.
And the voice of E.T. and E.T.
We've had Malone.
Stop.
We've had Gabriel Romero, yep. John Donahue. Thank you for listening, everybody. Go see Dark Knight Rises again and have a great night. Peace.
We clap for ourselves.
That's right. Woo!